the associate pastor. I'm Pastor Jill Skullrud, and I am so glad you are with us today. Greetings from pastors, Pastor Dale and Pastor Darla. They took a couple days vacation, but they will be back next week, and just pray that they have a great restful time. Yes, amen. They need to rest. So, wow, isn't God good? Right? All the time. And we get to be in His presence and we get to worship together. And that is so exciting and amazing. So I heard about this story of there was a woman in Arkansas. Now, Julie, are you from Arkansas? It wasn't her. Okay, but there was this lady from Arkansas, and she was sitting in her car last summer, and all of a sudden she hears a loud bang, and then she felt a sharp pain in the back of her neck. So she reached back, and there's this warm, sticky substance on the back of her head, and she realized she'd been shot. So she's sitting there in her car, and she said her life seemed to flash behind her eyes and all the things she had done and all the important family members, all those things she hadn't done. And so she's standing there holding her hands behind her neck. And someone walks up and sees her and says, "Are you okay?" And the woman says, "I've been shot. I'm shot in the head and I'm holding in my brains." Well, it wasn't her brains. It was dough. A Pillsbury dough canister had exploded in the back seat from the heat and had made this loud explosion sound and shot the dough right into the woman's head. Like this woman, at some point in her time, you know, she's thinking of all her loved ones, everything she had done, her whole mortality. And, you know, all of us at some point have to come to terms with our mortality. And I realize at my age, sad to say, that I have now come to realize that I have more days behind me than I do before. And unless Jesus comes, one day, all of us will have to face death. And there may be some here today or online who are saying, yeah, I'm dealing with a major illness or alarming medical reports. And with this COVID-19 pandemic, there may be even more that are facing that and having to really look at their own mortality. You know, I thought back when COVID started, I didn't really know anybody, and then I knew of some people. And then I started to hear of people I personally knew who had loved ones. And we've had several from our church who've had loved ones that have either have it and recovered or have passed away. And suddenly I have friends who are now having it. It seems like it just kind of gets closer. But you know what else I've noticed is more and more people are fearful. The uncertainty continues to overwhelm many. But like Pastor said last week, we do not have to fear. Right? Let me say that again. We do not have to fear. We have Jesus, and the worst thing that can happen is we pass into His presence. Wow, that is the worst that can happen. So today we are going to continue on our series, the Jesus Is series, as we have been studying the character of Jesus. And we're going to remember the words of Jesus about Himself that show that we can face death with certainty instead of fear. Jesus is the answer to those that are fearful. Not only do we have that answer, we need to share. We need to share that answer. Now, a few weeks ago, Pastor preached about Jesus as the surpriser, and he used the same reference. But I'm going to focus even more today out of this scripture that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Do we not have the scripture up? That's okay. But I'm going to read here from John 11, verse 17 through 37. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last days." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was come into the world." And after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" You know, as we found out, as Pastor said a few weeks ago, the Jewish beliefs at that time, they believed that the soul remained near the body for 3 days. And so that period of mourning, those first 3 days, were a very heavy mourning. Then they had 4 days of just heavy mourning and 30 days of lighter mourning. It was customary for friends and relatives to come and comfort the family. Lazarus, though, as it said here, was in the grave for 4 days, which meant there was all hope. There was no hope. It was all lost. In this story, we see three different characters who all responded to the death of Lazarus in different ways. We had Martha, who hoped. We have Mary, who hid. And we had Jesus, who wept. But all three show us that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Man. So we're going to start with Martha. Martha hoped. You know, it reminds us that Jesus is able. Ooh, Jesus is able. Now, if you remember from Luke chapter 10, that this was the same Martha who was so busy in the kitchens preparing the meal for when Jesus had come to her house. She was the same one who was so frustrated at her sister Martha her sister Mary. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha's left with all the work to do. And she's frustrated about that. And she, you know, she's the one who goes to Jesus and says, you know, basically, make her help me. And Jesus replies to her then in that chapter of Luke 10, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Whoa. Hey, it looks like Martha learned the lesson. It looks like Martha learned, because when she heard Jesus was there, she went out to Jesus. She knew that Jesus is able. You know, when she met him, her words were clear in verse 21 and 2. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. So she knew that Jesus was able. He was able to help. Even says, she even goes on to say, I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Her faith was secure in the Lord. She knew Jesus was the Christ. She even says that. And she believed that he would have been able to heal her brother. However, 4 days had passed. It was gone. It was a lost cause. Because they had their tradition of what they believed. You know, she knew Jesus had raised other people from the dead. But it had all been in that time frame. Very interesting, earlier in that scripture, it even says that Jesus purposely waited an extra 2 days. When he had heard Lazarus was sick, he waited before he even started his journey. Why? Because he wanted to show them, he wanted to show us that he is the resurrection and the life. He is able. Many people today are afraid of death. All they hope is that they hope for the best, but they're really expecting the worst. They know that God can intervene, but all they can do is hope. Oh, I hope it's the best. I hope it's okay. I hope. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe you faced a difficulty. Maybe you're facing a difficulty right now. And when God doesn't respond in the way you expect, you grow confused, or maybe get defensive or angry. Lauren Daigle has a song titled Trust in You. And in it, it has these lyrics speaking to Jesus. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you. Ever been there? Yes, I have, right? Yes. And it's okay to feel that if you go to Jesus. Do not turn to doubt and anger and fear. Turn to Jesus, because Jesus has the actual answer. And the next line in that song even says, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. We run to Jesus. We trust him even when we don't understand. As most of you here know, and some of our friends from watching online, last year I had to have both my knees replaced. They were 7 months apart, but I found out a couple weeks ago that the first one is considered a failure, as I have an infection in the knee. And God has not moved the mountain or parted my sea yet. He has not healed me as I've cried out to him yet. And no matter how he is going to answer, if he heals me miraculously, or if he is going to end up using surgery again, I will trust in Jesus. I will trust in him. He is the resurrection and the life. For today, even in my situation, even in your situation, he is the life. Man, Jesus responded to Martha by saying that he was the day of resurrection. He is life. To be with Jesus is to be with life. Ooh. Think about that. To be with Jesus is to be with life. Tell your neighbor that. To be with Jesus is to be with life. You know, you can tell a lot about a person by how they face death. We need not fear the unknown, wondering if God will have mercy on us and let us into heaven. If we are with Jesus, we have life. If we are his children, we have life. Wherever we go, whatever unknown we face, we have life. Not just eventually, but now. We can trust him to be true. We can trust in him. We do not have to fear death because we know we will live with Jesus. Man. On May 28th, 1914, there was a ship called the Empress of Ireland. And it off the coast of England, hit another ship and began to sink quickly. And as the ship sank into the cold Atlantic Ocean, it was discovered there were not enough life belts on board for all the passengers. Yet on that ship were 130 Salvation Army devoted Christians to the Lord. 130. 109 were drowned. And not one body that picked up of those 109 had a life belt on. A few of the survivors told the story that the Salvation Army Christians took off their own belts and strapped them on, even strong men saying, "I die better than you. I can die better than you can." So from that deck of the ship, it was demonstrated what it means to live with new priority, passion, and power. They knew that to gain in this life was to be with Christ for eternity. They had the hope that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That's what Jesus wants us to know today. He is both our resurrection and our life for today. And while Mary hoped, found Jesus is able, Surprisingly, I find it was Martha that, I'm sorry, it was Mary that hid. Martha went to Jesus, but Mary hid. She had to find that Jesus is willing. Not only that he's able, but Jesus is willing. So Mary, who had been sitting at the feet of Jesus, Mary knew his words. She knew his teaching. And yet when word came that Jesus was arriving, she didn't run out to meet him. Martha did. She stayed at home. And I keep thinking, why? That seems opposite. Why? Matthew Henry's commentary makes this observation. Mary sat still in the house. This temperament, or kids, that means character, formerly had been an advantage to her when it put her at Christ's feet to hear his word. But in the day of affliction, the same character disposed her to melancholy. Okay, kids, that means sadness, depression. You know, think of inside out sadness, that character sadness from inside out. That's what it's talking about there. Okay, now, here we go, back to everybody else. Did her faith in Jesus only allow her to see Jesus one way? The way that fit into her little box? The way that it made it easy and happy for herself? Was she sitting there fighting some disillusionment of Jesus? Was she upset Jesus didn't do things her way? Ooh, ever been there? I have. She did not go out to meet Jesus until Martha came and got her and told her that Jesus was asking for her. And then when she went, she ends up saying the same thing to Jesus that Martha did. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The focus, though, seems to be so much more on what Jesus was able to do. I'm sorry, it was not so much on what Jesus was able to do, like Martha, but for Mary, the focus was on what Jesus was willing to do. Mary knew that Jesus could save her brother if he had come earlier, but he didn't. So she thought, yeah, he was able, but he wasn't willing. Do you ever think that about any of our situations? God's just not willing to help me with this problem. God just doesn't care about my problem. Doesn't care about my family member. Mary didn't question his ability, but his motive. She was angry. Many, like Mary, approached death in anger and disbelief. Why? Why did God take that person from me? Doesn't God know how much I need that person? What's going to happen to me now? They see death as a waste and a tragedy instead of seeing the victory. Now, don't get confused here. I'm not talking about the normal cycle of the grief cycle that does have that anger part in here. I'm talking about an anger that stays mad, that looks to blame, that looks to find offense, that anger that can quickly move into bitterness and even hatred. It's that anger that shows no victory in death, only loss, which is very much a worldview. Yet when we have Jesus as our Savior, He is the resurrection and the life. We can see the victory of being with Jesus. Amen. When my mom passed on to glory about 3.5 years ago, that was the first time I was hit so hard with that kind of intense grief. I wasn't prepared for it. It came as a surprise to us. And I struggled. I lost one of my best friends, my prayer partner, my prayer warrior, as well as my mom. Yet I knew I could not be sad for her. She was where she longed to be. She had no more pain, and she was in the very presence of Jesus. Well, during that Christmas service, about 2 months later, God gave me a beautiful glimpse of what she was experiencing in heaven. We were singing a song, and I was standing, and I believe it was Angels We Have Heard on High. I actually realize now I never wrote it down, but it fits, because in the chorus when we sing Gloria, 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 in excelsis Deo, glory, glory to God, I was made so aware of the heavenly host singing and worshiping and praising Jesus. I knew she was there, and we were joining in with all the heavenly hosts praising and worshiping our Jesus. It was such a feeling of peace and love and contentment that overcame me. I truly felt like I got one more Christmas glimpse to worship Jesus with my mom, at least in spirit and in truth. I knew she had life, resurrection life. She was more alive and well than at any other time. And one day I will see her again. You know, in death, the body is left behind as an empty shell, while its soul, the better part, has taken wings and flown away, if you will. We do not have to hope for a future, because with Jesus, we have life now, today. It's not just in the future, it's now. We don't have to hide. We don't have to fret. We don't have to fear. Even if COVID-19, Jesus is still the life giver today. We can be sure of that because Jesus loves us. He has shown us that by his life, by going to the cross to pay the penalty of our sins. We also can know this from this scripture that has the shortest verse of the Bible in it. Simply, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Because Jesus loves us. It wasn't for Lazarus. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew Lazarus in life or death was safe and would be with him forever. He wept for those that were mourning because he loved them. He felt the pain that they were going through. Jesus feels our pain. He empathizes with us like no one else can. God does not like to see his children suffer, even if in the end, if it's good for us. Just like as parents, we don't like to see our children suffer. And I know when I took my children in for immunizations, which I did for their overall good, it often made them cry. Or, in my youngest Caleb's case, made him scream like we were torturing him. We were at the health department to get his shots. He was screaming so loud that the supervisor comes barging into the room to see what was happening to this poor child. Neither the nurse nor I were touching him, other than he was sitting on my lap. He hadn't even had the shot yet. But he was so afraid the shot would hurt, everyone in the building could hear him screaming. He was so afraid of the unknown, of what was to come. Supervisor took a look around and we just kind of looked at her and went, "He's afraid." She said, "Okay, carry on," and turned around and left. But you know, when we are in that much pain, either real or imagined, Jesus is right by our side. He doesn't even have to barge into the room. He's there. He's there to help. If we're his children, he's already there. He's by our side. He's there to walk us through and give us life. And in our most trying and hurting times, he's already carrying us through it. He gets us through the situation. Just like I eventually got young Caleb through the fear of what was coming. We don't have fear. We do not have to fear because Jesus is with us. He gives us life and he wants us to get our eyes on him. Get our eyes on what we'll have for eternity. Get our eyes off the situation. And that's what I had to do with Caleb that day. I finally got him to look away. Got his eyes off the situation, and the nurse gave him the first shot. Got the first shot and said, "That didn't hurt." She quickly gave him the other ones, and we left the building. And I kept kind of wanting to walk like this out, but no, I didn't. But Jesus is with us. We need to get our eyes off of our situation and onto him. That's the biggest part. What are you focused on? What are your eyes on? On Jesus, off the circumstances, off the situation. We might still have pain, but he carries us through. He knows we hurt and he empathizes with us. And that's what it's going to be when we pass from this earth into our heavenly home. It's all about moving from that temporary shelter into a life of fullness and the presence of our King and Savior. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14 tells us this. Brothers, sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, those who die, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. We have that hope. It doesn't mean we shouldn't cry or mourn at memorial services, funerals. That's not what I'm saying at all, so please don't take it out of context. It's okay to cry at those services and whenever else you may need to cry. But it's not a sign of despair. It's only that we miss those people that are gone. Death for us right now means separation. And so that does bring a sense of loss and emptiness. And it's normal, it's natural to grieve, to miss them, but we don't do it as if we have no hope, or as if we have no hope for them. We weep not because we think we'll never meet them again, but because it could be a long time. You know, when I dropped off my kids at college that first year, I cried, not in front of them, but I cried. I got to the car and I cried. But you know what? I didn't cry when I sent them off to school each day when they were growing up. The difference is the distance and the length of separation. Life is made up of both good days and bad days, and often during the same day. You know, we have lots of good things to celebrate. Weddings, baptisms, people coming to Christ, salvation. We will have bad days when we have to say goodbye to brothers and sisters in Christ. And in this pandemic, some of us are having to say that a little bit more right now. But we need to remember that through it all, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. There was a workman of the great chemist Michael Faraday, and he accidentally knocked a silver cup into a solution of acid. Yeah, it was promptly dissolved up, eaten by the acid. Now, we have our kids' service following today, and they're doing a series on Jesus and science, and this is not one of the experiments we will be doing. Yeah. So the acid is eating up the silver cup, and the workman, he's feeling terrible. He's greatly disturbed by this accident. But the chemist, he just comes over, and he puts a chemical into the jar, and shortly, all the silver precipitated to the bottom. And he takes out the shapeless mass, and he takes it to the silversmith. And the cup was restored to its original shape. What the workman thought was gone was not really gone. And at some point, we all have to come to our own terms of mortality. But the good news of the gospel is that in Jesus, the sting of death has been removed. Man, can you say that? Removed. Yes, the sting of death has been removed. That is the good news of the gospel. In Christ, we have hope. In Christ, we have life. Jesus is able. Jesus is willing. And Jesus loves you. I want to close with this story. Catherine Marshall wrote a book about her husband that was entitled A Man Called Peter. And in it, she cites a story of a young, terminally ill son asking his mother what death would be like if it hurt. Kenneth, the mom told the young boy, you remember when you were a tiny boy? How you used to play so hard all day that when night came, you would be too tired even to undress and you would tumble into mother's bed and fall asleep. That was not your bed. It was not where you belonged. And you would only stay for a little while. In the morning, much to your surprise, you would wake up and find yourself in your own bed, in your own room. You were there because someone had loved you and taken care of you. Your father had come with big, strong arms and carried you away. Kenneth, the mom said, death is just like that. We just wake up some morning to find ourselves in the other room, our own room, where we belong, because the Lord Jesus loves us. Reminds me of Big Daddy Weave's song, the only name, "When I Wake Up in the Land of Glory. With the saints, I will tell my story. There will be one name I proclaim. Jesus. Jesus. It is Jesus who is the resurrection and the life. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much that you are the resurrection and the life. You are able, you are willing, and you love us so much. And I thank you that you carry us through. No matter the situation, no matter what we are facing, and you never leave us, but you give us power and life. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, for that. Maybe you're here today or online, and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here or online and you've turned away. You once knew Jesus, but you turned away from him. Simple to come back. Simple to come to him in the first place. And if that's you, I'd like you to stand. Pastor's been having a stand. And if you would like to accept Christ, would you please stand so I can pray with you today? Maybe you're here. You know Jesus. At home, you know Jesus. He's your Lord and Savior. We have that assurance. He's our resurrection and our life. But maybe you're not feeling so assured. Maybe you just need that comfort that he can give. Maybe you're just like, I just need to know his presence even more. And if that's you, would you please stand? They're here in the building or at home. Finally, if you're here, and you're facing something that you need life. You need Jesus to be that resurrection and life. It's for you today. He did not give us fear. He does not want us to hide. He wants to stand with us. He is here to meet needs. If you are here today and you have a need, if you're home online, please stand. If you have a need that you need Jesus to meet, to be that life for you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you see these that are standing online, here in the building, wherever we are, in our homes. Lord, if we need you, we just ask you to forgive us of what we have done wrong. And we ask you to come into our life. We know you are Lord and Savior, and we believe that you are, and you are giving us a new life in you. And for our friends that need that reassurance that you really are there, that you are their comfort, you are their source of strength, you are the resurrection and the life. I pray now, Lord God, that you will wrap your loving arms around them in a mighty, powerful way. Let them feel your presence and be encouraged by your word today that you empathize, that you know what they're feeling, and you are the one to give them help and strength. And then, Lord, I pray for these that are standing that have needs. I thank you, God, that nothing is impossible with you. And I thank you that nothing is too big. And I pray that you will meet these needs in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for healing. I pray for those that have relationship and family needs. I pray, Lord, for those that are hurting and need your touch. I pray for those that have financial needs and everything else that there could be, because at times it seems overwhelming, but nothing is impossible. Nothing is too much for you. And I thank you, God, for that. I pray you will continue to help and strengthen us each day and throughout the week, and go with your people, encouraging them that you are the resurrection and the life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to share in the comments how God is speaking to you through his word. If you would like to join our online church community, be sure to subscribe and click the bell icon on our YouTube page so you're notified when we post a new weekly sermon. You can also learn more about The Rock Church by visiting our website, rockag.com. If you are in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area, make sure to come visit us for Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. We would love to meet you in person. And if you would like to support this ministry today, you can donate by visiting our website and clicking the Giving tab at the top of the page, or by texting the amount you would like to give to the number 84321, then follow the instructions in the text reply. Thanks again for joining us. We look forward to hearing from you.